Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
Prim in a black leotard and pale as porridge. Hey everybody, welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to this episode of our program. Happy Friday to all if you're listening to this on a daily basis when it comes out. We appreciate those daily listeners, and we appreciate anybody who listens to our podcast at any time very, very much. Today is November 7th. That's a very interesting day in music history, and I'll tell you why. I was doing a little perusing of this day in music history, and I came across an event that occurred possibly on this day, or possibly 2 days from now. But either way, it occurred this weekend, and I want to tell you a little bit about it. I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole, and I thought that it would be important to share it with all of you listeners to Rock in the Suburbs. And the event is the day that John Lennon met Yoko Ono. Many sources that I came across, and I found four, five, six of them, list the day of their meeting as November 7th, 1966, 59 years ago. But then there are some, including a source I'm going to read to you from, that peg the date as November 9th, 1966. So either way, we think they met sometime between November 7th and November 9th, 1966, 59 years ago. I want to read to you now from a book that I think is quite excellent. It is a book simply titled The Beatles. It was written by Bob Spitz. And the book came out in the year 2005. It looks like it was originally published. And I think it's quite a fine biography of the Beatles. One of the best, if not the best, I've ever read. And it's a pretty lengthy book, and it goes into quite a bit of detail. It's very, very entertaining. Very, very entertaining. So I was doing some research on this event, as I said, and I found several sources that claimed that all four of the Beatles were present at this event, but that is very much not the case from what I read, and I definitely trust the work of Bob Spitz here, and I did confirm that with a couple of other sources. But the situation was, there was a guy named John Dunbar, and he had a gallery called the Indica Gallery. It also had a bookshop in it, and there was an exhibition being put on in November of 1966, and he very much wanted John Lennon to see it because it was different, it was challenging, it was out there in Dunbar's opinion, and he invited John to the gallery. John walked in, he walked around upstairs and saw some of the exhibits that were up there, and he was slightly amused. He was beginning to see the humor of the installation that was put up. And of course, you may know by now that the installation was the work of one Yoko Ono. And so I'm going to quote to you now, as John walks downstairs into the lower part of the exhibit. And the story goes, quote, "All sorts of contraptions connected by gangplanks, beams, and ladders were spread across the brightly lit basement, where a few, quote, scruffy people, unquote, were putting finishing touches on the installation. As he stood there, taking it all in, Dunbar excused himself to confer with some of the staff. When he returned, a slip of a young Asian woman was by his side, prim in a black leotard and pale as porridge. In her tension of small bones, she resembled a small, serious-faced animal. 'Hey, man,' Dunbar said to John, 'allow me to introduce you to Yoko Ono.' 'Yoko Ono,' John thought, 'was that a put-on, too? She had amazing presence.' He could feel it surge through the room. There was something about her, something strange and exceptional, that was overpowering. John glanced around shyly, buying time to recover his composure. 'Well, what's the event?' he wondered, obviously flustered. Instead of answering, this little sphinx-like woman merely handed him a card, which John turned over in his hands a few times. There was nothing on it except a single word, 'breathe.' 'You mean like this?' John asked, panting like a winded terrier. Yes, that's it. That's what she intended. Yes, breathe. John liked that. It was part of the joke. Increasingly, Yoko relaxed as John responded perfectly to her approach. Too many people dismiss her work as outrageous, beyond weird. They got angry instead of locating the humor in it. But this guy, Yoko, claimed, hard as it seems to believe, that she neither knew John's name or recognized him, seemed to get what it was about, or at least he was willing to play along, which was just as favorable. Leading him to a ladder, she suggested that he climb to the top to view a ceiling painting. It looked like a black canvas with a chain and a spyglass hanging on the end of it, he recalled. What did she expect him to make of that? You take the magnifying glass and you look at it, Yoko explained, motioning him toward the rungs. John wasn't so sure he wanted to play anymore. He dreaded climbing the ladder and confronting some cynical witticism, some goof. Still, Yoko coaxed him upward, and with mounting trepidation, he held the magnifying glass up to the canvas and squinted. A smile slowly spread across John's face. Painted on the canvas was a single word. Yes. As soon as he climbed down, John asked to see more. There was a piece of plasterboard, a wall that was painted eggshell white. A small sign invited visitors to hammer a nail into its surface. Trouble was, the show's opening was still a night away, and Yoko understandably wanted it to remain unspoiled. I argued strongly in favor of Lennon's hammering in the first nail, Dunbar remembers. He had a lot of loot. Chances are he would buy the damn thing. Yoko's eyes flashed anger. Why let this guy ruin her pristine exhibit? She pulled Dunbar aside and they huddled for several minutes, going at it like cats and dogs. In all likelihood, Dunbar identified John and enticed her with a potential sale because she evidently relented and said, "Okay, you can hammer a nail in for 5 shillings. That was all John needed to hear. Grinning, he responded, "I'll give you an imaginary 5 shillings if you let me hammer in an imaginary nail." Beautiful, pure Lennon, and Yoko loved it. My God, she thought, he's playing the same game I'm playing. Standing in the dockets of Hampton, trying to get to Holland or France. The man in the Mac says, "You've got to go back. You know they didn't even give us a chance. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, they're gonna crucify me." Finally made the plane into Paris, honeymooning down by the Seine. Peter Brown called to say, "You can make it okay. You can get married in Gibraltar near Spain. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, they're gonna crucify." So there we have the story of the meeting of John and Yoko. And of course, at the time, John was still married to Cynthia Lennon and Yoko was still married to her husband, Anthony Cox, at the time. And it wasn't until, I believe, 3 years later that John and Yoko finally married. But of course, the spark was set in place in this meeting on November 7th or 9th, 1966. So just a little something to ponder as you go about your weekend activities. From a musical standpoint, maybe pull out a little Beatles, a little John Lennon solo, a little Yoko. And we've got a special series coming up for you next week, and I hope you're going to be excited about that. I also want to mention to everybody that October New Music will begin airing on November 17th. So we need you to get your picks in here by November 16th. So November 16th, we're doing a little bit better this month than we did last, giving you some notice about the new music picks for October. So always a busy time of the year in the fall. Lots of new albums coming out, so I'm sure there'll be a lot of great stuff for everybody to talk about, and I look forward to that very, very much. So with John and Yoko in mind, we'll send you out with a little more music, and we will talk to you guys next week. Painted on the canvas was a single word. Yes.